A giant gorilla with glowing red eyes is charging directly at you. It's okay, though. It's on a floor-to-ceiling screen behind a stage. It took you two full seconds to realize either of those things. You took too much. Or did you take anything? What happened today, anyway? Or this year? You try desperately to bob your head in sync with the beat, but keep losing the rhythm, partially because it keeps changing, but you're swaying on your feet all the while. Medics are trawling the crowd. They keep eyeballing you. You act natural. You don't need to go home. You should go to the bathroom. It's the only place to sit down. The lights are flashing. They plunge you into darkness every few seconds. Or your vision is blinking. Maybe your consciousness. Maybe you're just blinking your eyes. Maybe it's all four. The DJ lets the drop happen. You start headbanging, but eventually you realize how slow you're going. You still can't catch the beat. People might be watching. You're heading to the bathroom again. You don't need to go home. Nothing outside those doors is an improvement. You came here because you can't stand to be anywhere else. Or did you? Has anything serious ever really happened to you at all? You don't need to go home. You just need to sit down, grab a water on the way back to the dance floor. Maybe a beer. Can you stomach the price? Will you remember to? You walk the 50 feet to the bathroom, but are sure it must have been more like 600 feet. Maybe you took too much. Or not enough. There's a fan with a psychedelic pattern lying in a suspicious puddle on the floor. Score. You pick it up, or find out a couple of seconds later that you did. The bathroom attendants are hawking candy and vapes. You act natural. You hope someone took pity on you and didn't piss on the seat. This is futile. You hope you'll remember your task right now. Dry off this seat. You don't know if you did or not, but you're sitting now. You recite to yourself where you are, in what city, where you're from, what your name is, who the president is. You don't need to go home. You're putting your pants back on. Fast. How was it that fast? You triple check your fly, or else you did once and thought about it two more times. You leave the stall with your eyes closed. You have to wash your hands so you don't seem gross to the attendants. You pass the candy. You're tempted. It's $8. Now is the crucial moment. You have to act natural. Everything is razor sharp and steady for the 30 seconds you wash your hands. Next thing you know, you're one quarter of the way through drying them. Back on the outside of the careful order of the restroom, the lights are still intermittent. Each person you shove on your way back through the crowd feels like it was a different day, with a full night's sleep in between. You vaguely remember sleep. You're not a fan these days. The medics are still eyeballing you. You forgot to get water. It's now a mission for later, if you remember. Somehow you still have the fan. It's so hot that you feel tempted to use it, but it's probably still wet. You're not going to risk spraying that all over your face. You shift your feet to stay upright. You eyeball the medics. They catch your eye, too. You remind yourself where you are, in what city, where you're from, what your name is, who the president is. You see long, shiny hair on the girl in front of you and want to ask if you can put it between your lips. You need two things right now. To feel hair in your mouth, on your tongue, between your fingers, on your face. And you need to bite and be bitten. Genders be damned, you don't care right now. You need hands on them and hands on you, and hair in your mouth. It's all about feeling. Night is eternal in time, and not nearly long enough. The oppressive darkness stretches infinitely in all directions, or far enough to be infinite to you. If the night decides to turn on you, you'll never make it far enough in time. Day is both dull and harsh. You do your best to hide from it. In its mocking, cold, gray light, you're surrounded by people who know what happened and don't care. Judgmental eyes and smug whispers. They think you're a fool for caring. The people around you right now are the distraction that you crave, and an unacceptable risk. Risk of going through it all again. Risk of God knows what else. There is no person more tired than the one who knows how short night really is. You took too much, or not enough. Now, in case you couldn't tell from the introduction, Saturn in Pisces is the bad trip, and it's time for somebody to say that out loud. Saturn ingressed into Pisces on March 10th of 2023 and came with an armful of extremely loud metaphors. On June 14th, a reportedly run-down and overloaded migrant boat capsized off the coast of Greece, killing at least 79 people. 4 days later, on June 18th, the infamous Oceangate disaster happened. They literally gave in to the crushing pressure of the sea. Earlier this year, it brought a rash of stories about boats crashing into bridges. At date of publication, Saturn will be in Pisces for 544 more days, exiting on February 13th, 2026. Now, for the first several episodes, I wanted to do just basic overviews of the planets, and then the signs, and then the houses. But Saturn in Pisces is a current transit, and explaining current long transits will help you study on your own so that you know how to watch for certain things during this period and can see firsthand how they tend to play out. Saturn in Pisces is also my natal Saturn placement, which means that I'm currently in my Saturn return. And anybody else who's going through this probably wants some answers. As I poorly attempted to explain in the last episode, I believe that you can go far to understand the symbolism of a planet through its physical attributes. Saturn is the farthest flung, the most cast away from the sun's light, the most distant planet in the visible solar system. Probably for partially this reason, he's associated with outsiders. In Indian astrology, a common remedy for Saturn is to give small amounts to beggars on Saturdays. This is the day that's associated with Saturn. He's associated with those who are kind of like ignored or cast out by society, as well as farmers and the common folk. It's kind of interesting how they delineated that in the old days. They were like, all the commoners are the same. Outside of cultural reasons, part of the reasons for this is probably because astrologers were usually very educated, generally well-off people. They were being consulted by royalty, after all. Being the last planet to see, it marks the boundary between the seen and the unseen, the real and unreal. Some say that because he's the farthest out, everything that comes into being in our world has to go through him. This motif of being the decision maker probably comes from his association with boundaries. As the last planet visible in front of the void of far-flung stars, he is that boundary. Boundaries are a bit of a buzzword these days, but on the most basic level, a thing is only defined by how different it is from something else. This is how Saturn creates through boundaries. A thing becomes defined through the differences that separate it from other things. If you have a slushie in your cup, you don't have a hot coffee in that same cup taking up the same space. They're different things, separate beverages. Hopefully that's clear enough. A color-changing hexagonal storm has raged at Saturn's North Pole for at least 40 years. Don't ask me the symbolism of that, but it's probably pretty weird. Nobody knows for sure, but scientists speculate it may rain diamonds on Saturn, though they would become liquid again during the fall. Saturn is surrounded by nebulous rings made mostly of ice. NASA has put out some incredible pictures of teal auroras and the rings. It's sunlight bouncing off the ice. Now, let's find out what happens when the castaway star gets lost at sea. To paraphrase famous medieval astrologer Guido Bonatti, if Saturn is in Pisces, it signifies blowing of the northern winds and severe cold in the winter. Storms at sea, the breaking of ships, and impediments and inconveniences to those who spend time on or in the water or work on the water. It signifies quarrels and fights between the wealthy and mutual killings. You know, like a submarine filled with billionaires, getting smashed flat like a pancake. It also signifies revolutions of the common people bringing down nobles and magnates. When it goes retrograde in Pisces, it signifies tribulations of the religious. In other words, I presume your faith being tested. And it also causes battles between men, especially of those serving God, apparently. The thing some people don't want to say out loud to their listeners is that, as the boundary, the end, Saturn does represent death. Many planets can, depending on the circumstances, but other than Pluto, when you think death in astrology, you tend to think of Saturn. So, symbolically, Saturn in Pisces is death on and in the water. I've heard significations of it representing poisoned waters, corruption of water sources, and such things. So one of the easiest ways to use this in real life is just exercise a lot of caution around the water. I don't want to say don't take that boat tour, but just wear your life jacket. Don't get too drunk. You know, the basics. There's nothing that Saturn likes more than to show someone who neglects the basics who's the real boss. Now, this episode started out pretty heavy, so let's lighten the mood a bit. The easiest way to understand Saturn and Pisces is, you know that game where somebody throws a greased watermelon into the pool and you wrestle around with it trying to catch it? It's just like that, except the pool goes as far as you can see in every direction, and the watermelon is your will to live, and your sense of direction in life. So it shouldn't be too hard to understand why the Lord of Boundaries and Clear Definitions will act the way that he does in Pisces, the place where everything is kinda here, kinda there, kinda nowhere, and definitely everywhere. Pisces is very associated with escapism, including alcohol and drugs. You can see these themes in some of the famous things that are released around these times. Dune, for example, came out during Saturn and Pisces, and a remake was recently made during this Saturn and Pisces cycle as well. But it's essentially a story about how spice is the motor of the modern world, and it's just filled to the brim with water motifs. Saturn in Pisces is generally said to be a great time for creativity, and it's caused many people to quit habits and form an intentional relationship with substances. If you're trying to do that, this is probably a great time for it. Now that's the beauty of blending modern astrology with ancient. You'll know when it's a great time to cut back on smoking, but you also won't be surprised if your boat trip goes a little sideways. For example, Twitter was recently a part of my everyday life, kind of an enormous part. But at the last Mars-Mercury square with Saturn stationing here, I dropped it because the vibes were getting too bad. Musk has kind of let the community, slip quite a bit. I haven't looked back since, and I credit that partially to the Mars-Mercury square. Mars is all about severance. And when you're thinking about computers, whenever it's not Aquarius, turn your eye towards Mercury. Here's a little homework. Take a look at what house Pisces occupies in your chart, and think about what's been happening over the past year or so. Has Saturn been bringing order and structure to that area of your life? Or maybe poisoning and shipwrecks? Now, don't just freak out at the possibility or anything. If you have a basic understanding of your placements and how they already show up in your life, chances are you know how Saturn affects you. It will be harsher on some people than others, and a lot of what that has to do with is whether you were born during the day or during the night. Being one of night's children is not universally awful in astrology. You just get a little more trouble from Saturn in particular. As a final thought, I'll leave you with the personal story of my own Saturn return. When I was much younger, I used to just really hate people who partied a lot. It seemed depraved to me, like it was asking for danger. And as someone who had to struggle to survive as hard as I did, it frankly felt insulting. But after my Saturn return, I understand exactly why a person would need to run from things. Being holier than thou is a drug all on its own, and what Saturn demands the most is humility. You have to remember, you don't know everything, and we're all at the whims of Saturn. So now I go to raves, and I don't judge what anybody does for fun unless it hurts somebody. The fact of the matter is, your Saturn return will change you. And in my case, it was the most painful thing I've experienced yet. But did I come out better on the other side? I think so. Today's song of the day is Limbo by Gal the Arsonist.